artist, but we're also Christian. We wanted the next generation
without purpose or plan, when trying his servant and molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake.
Braxton was diagnosed with choroid plexus carcinoma, a brain tumor.
God gives wings to fly and strength to rise
above. God gives wings, God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. And the race still lies before me, and the wind is blowing strong. When the witnesses surround me, and my strength is almost gone. When the valley plunges deeper, and life shatters all my dreams, then I lift my voice to Jesus, and He gives my spirit wings. God gives wings as eagles. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Let us run the race with patience. Let us lay each weight aside. Looking only unto Jesus, He will be our faithful guide. He has run the race before us. He has won the victor's crown, and He calls to every Christian, follow me to higher ground. God gives wings as eagles. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagles. I mount up on eagles' wings. I mount up on eagles' wings.
His holy name. Sing praises to His majesty and all His works proclaim.
Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and bless His holy name. We celebrate the Father's gift, oh, let the anthem ring. With grateful hearts we welcome Him, our prophet, priest, and king.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me and bless His holy name.
Throne, and there our Savior greets.
we shout Hosanna to our King and worship at His feet.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and bless His holy name.
Shut that down. Hopefully you all can hear me okay. It appears that after, if you were looking at the perplexity on my face here as I was, before we were getting started here and I'm going through all this stuff and you're seeing the varied facial expressions that I'm going through at the time, here's the reason why. Well, so for 10 days I can't find my wallet, right? And looked everywhere for it. Looked everywhere for it, all through the house, everywhere, went through parking lots, drove everywhere to find this wallet. And so I canceled all my cards on Monday, had to get a new ID, had to get a new concealed carry permit. Had to get all new credit cards, had to change all my accounts online, had to switch everything over that are on automatic pay, had to do all of those things, you know, just every single bit of it, spend hours on the phone with people and internets and websites and all that other good stuff. And my daughter goes downstairs and opens a little box, and inside that little toy box is my wallet sitting inside there. After I already bought a new one, after I already did all those other things, after I did all of those things and spent all of that time, that's what happened. So, the little man in me right now wants to run outside and scream to the top of my lungs right now. But, for discretionary purposes and for good testimony, I'll just leave that alone. No, I'm not kidding you. So, here's the thing. Yep. No joke. No kidding. Like, not even joking. Like, I wouldn't even joke about that because it put me through so much stress to think about it in the first place. And to deal with it for that long, and to think somebody stole it, and to think it's somewhere else, and to wonder around where it is. But welcome to real life. This is real life. See, you know how you can tell I don't run a reality show? Because I'm actually real. I'm just showing you actually what life is like, and like, I'm not scripted, I'm not on a camera. That just stinks. That's just real life. Okay, I'm not scripted. I'm not going to show you like my best life now and show you all the great and wonderful things. I'm as real as it gets without reality TV and any scripted or fake nonsense. I am not kidding you. So now I have two wallets that I have. Now I have my other one, and now I have another one that I already ordered that already shipped, and it's too late for me to do anything with. Isn't that wonderful? But anyway. Hang on a second here. And now I'm going to show you. Now I'm going to show you who that terrible thief is. Are you ready? My little angel. Right there. That's the one. Right there. She took that and she stuck it in a toy box when she seen it on the table. And she stuck it in a toy box. And it was put downstairs. Somewhere in the toy room. Hidden. That's the culprit right there. Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. Believe me. She was protecting it all right, protecting it enough for me to go buy a new one, cancel all my cards, change all my accounts around. Look through parking lots. Anyway. So. So, anyway. Look, Kristen, I'm going to take your advice, and I'm probably going to get a tile for that so I don't lose that again. But let the record show that the guy with anxiety, depression, and a bad memory did not leave his wallet or lose it. Praise the Lord. Wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. Right? You want my advice on raising girls? Do not leave your wallet around. Put it in your safe. Anyway. All right. So. I suppose we should get into this, because that's what the title is. And well, I suppose we should learn something here. Today, and not just about my calamities that befall me. Remember, this has been gone for almost 2 weeks, this wallet. Anyway. I have to focus my thoughts now. You know how hard that is for me sometimes, believe me. Well, I'm going to switch gears here on you, and we're going to get into this right here. And we're going to talk about, well, oops, not that one. This one, which is, this one is the first one we're going to cover. This one has the audio on it that I want you to pay attention to, okay? In this audio, John MacArthur, who, again, John MacArthur, I'm not in agreement with John MacArthur on a number of issues, the King James Bible being one of them, the way he describes the blood of Christ, and the mark of the beast. However, I will say this, that he is right about this topic. He is right about this topic. And because he is right about this, and because his voice puts this in the forefront, it needs to be talked about. This needs to be talked about because the issue is not going anywhere. It's not going away. The issue is becoming worse. And I will say this, though. Somebody mentioned, you know, he's into Calvinism. Yeah, I know. But here's the thing. The alternative, which has been popular, are the Pelagians, are the, I mean, not the biblical alternative, but the other side of the spectrum, which do not stick to Scripture, do not stick to the depravity of understanding the depravity of man, and some of those other issues. So those are real too, and need to be understood. You know, and anyway, so lamenting what he sees as heretical plunge away from biblical order, Pastor John MacArthur, who leads Grace Community Church in California, skewered popular Bible teacher Beth Moore. Skewered? I think he just told her the truth. He told her the truth, and these guys can't handle it. Skewered popular Bible teacher Beth Moore, President Donald Trump's spiritual advisor Paula White, and evangelicals who support the idea of women preachers in general. And he's right. So here's some Southern Baptist. My friend Paula White has a wonderful new book releasing tomorrow about God's power to transform lives. Read Something Greater and give it to anyone looking for hope. They're all promoting Paula White's book. Right? They're all promoting. Now, I want you to listen to this video. And I'm going to stop it during it as we talk about it. And I want you to understand what's being taught here. Okay? Because he's right.
For your stretches, I will say a word. And then the three of you need to give a one or a pithy response to the word. Are you ready?
I feel like I'm being set up.
That is always the case with Todd. Watch out for him. He will try to embarrass you.
We're going
to
start out. This is just kind of touching your toes. Easy, easy setup for you. Let's begin with an easy one. The word is Beth Moore.
That's two words.
Liberalist. All right. Dr. MacArthur, Beth Moore.
How many words do I get?
You know, actually, and before you answer this, please think carefully this time, because last time you did a one-word association.
Know,
the guy wrote a book about it, and
no,
we don't want that.
I was thinking of the same word.
Okay.
Go home.
Now, everybody got into an uproar here when he said, go home. And people laughed. So all the effeminate, soft, Southern Baptist leaders limped their wrist, got all effeminate, and acted like a bunch of schoolgirls that got told no, that got kicked off the playground. They acted like a bunch of babies, and the men acted like a bunch of women. And I'm going to show you why J.D. Greer, who I think is a queer, why he did what he did.
Well, I see we're warmed up. I dilly-dally.
There is no case that can be made biblically for a woman preacher, period.
Okay, good. Now, if you just stopped right there, you know, that's enough. He's right. There is absolutely no biblical basis for a female preacher. None. There is none. The Bible is absolutely 100% clear that women should be home.
Paragraph, end of discussion.
So let me see if I can get a clarification on that. Got one. Phil, anything to add?
No, the word that comes to my mind is narcissistic. I think the first time I saw her, I thought, going back to the last session of what Mike said, this is what it looks like to preach yourself rather than Christ.
All right. And
in fact, she has said that. She said, I read the Bible and I try to find myself in the narrative. I put myself in the narrative. And that is exactly what she does.
And this, by the way, Bakum was supposed to be here, but I'll just let you know he's not here because he's weak, is what it is. He's weak, and he wanted to rest. So, Mike, and by the way, dude, you killed it. That sermon was the bomb.
Well, Katie Porter, I would disagree with you that this is not a serious deviation from Scripture, because women preachers are an absolutely serious deviation from Scripture. It is the absolutely it's the absolute rebellion and breakdown of biblical order. Absolutely 100%. So I think it's a very serious issue. I think it's one at the top peak of issues today facing churches, and that is feminism's absolute invasion of churches. I think it is at the top of the problem. And if it is not addressed now, it's going to get much worse in the years to come.
John MacArthur say, period, paragraph, end of story.
All right, one more, and then we will get into our video clips.
I would just add one thing. Just because you have the skill to sell jewelry on the TV sales channel doesn't mean you should be preaching. There are people who have certain hawking skills, natural abilities to sell. They have energy and personality and all of that. That doesn't qualify you to preach.
Dr. McCarthy, we've done this a number of
times. See, he's right about that, because like Paula White and Beth Moore, all they are selling something. They're salesmen. They're absolute salesmen is what they are. They're hawking something. They're selling something. They can't with integrity preach the Bible because they don't believe it.
Times. And I've asked you a number of questions on pretty broad ranging issues. I'm perceiving this is actually troubling you.
Profoundly troubling me, because I think the church is caving in to women preachers.
Yep, and that's it right there. That's the absolute truth, because that's what's happening right now. They are caving to women preachers. And it's happening all over the place. It used to be in just Pentecostal holiness people. It used to just be in those issues. But now, in those churches, now it's going mainstream.
Just
the other day. The same thing happened with Paula White. A whole bunch of leading evangelicals endorsed her new book. She's a heretic and a prosperity preacher, three times married. And what are they thinking?
Listen to that. And he's absolutely right about that. Here's Dr. Robert Jeffries. Here's all these people that are supporting. They're supporting these women preachers. And here's the head of the SBC, which is J.D. Greer, which we're going to get into. He's a Southern Baptist Convention president. As you can see, John MacArthur's position on this is correct, what he's saying. You don't have to like John MacArthur to agree with his position, because the position is a biblical one. And that's just the truth. It's a biblical position that women are not to be preachers. And what I have a problem with is if you're over here on my thread and you got a problem with this, I think you got a problem in your heart. Because I'm talking about women preachers. I'm not talking about MacArthur being God. I'm not talking about MacArthur being right about everything. I just feel some pushback there. It's kind of weird. And it's like that Jezebel pushback that comes when you're trying to fight an issue. Everybody knows how I am about John MacArthur. Everybody knows my stand about his place and everything else. But I feel like some pushback here with this. And it's kind of funny to me that I would get pushback on this issue from people that profess to believe the Bible. Anyway, whatever. I'll just continue. Because that's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
The Me Too movement, again, is the culture reclaiming ground in the church. When the leaders of evangelicalism roll over for women preachers, the feminists have really won the battle.
So let me just stop this teaching for a second so I can address this and just let you know. Katie Porter's mad at me about the rapture. So because she's had an agenda about the rapture for 2 weeks, I saw the turn coming, she or he, whoever that is. I don't know if that's a woman or a man. But I saw the turn coming a few weeks ago, the comments about the rapture and having a problem with it. And I could see it, and now it's because I'm bringing up John MacArthur, who is not a Presbyterian, by the way. To my understanding, he is a non-denominational person. So it seems like there's got to be this fight here because I'm using somebody else's video that I don't have to agree with. I cover news here. I cover what's going on in the evangelical world. I cover apostasy here. I cover all of those things. That's what I do. That's what it's all about. That's why I come on here and do extra things like this and deal with that. I've already made known my differences with every man in that section. But when somebody has an agenda and they're upset, well, they're going to use whatever they can to try to poke at you. And that's what's going on. But I'll let God deal with their heart. And because that's what it is. You're saying, so the Baptist gets smeared and you can't find one standing, just a Presbyterian, they're related, and you claim to speak for biblical truth? Well, Katie Porter, truth is truth. And if you're okay with women preachers and you got a problem with this broadcast, you can simply click a little button up there, and you can just go, and then you're gone. Just like that. And you can just be gone. No one's forcing you. No one's forcing you. If you want to go do something, go do it. Go talk bad about me. Go make a video about me. Go join EJ Love and the gang. I don't care. go ahead. But I'm going to keep teaching people what God lays on my heart to teach people. And if you don't like it, it's easy to push the little button and not listen. It's easy to do that. But you got a problem with the rapture because it's, I'm not pre-trib and you're upset about it. So you've been that's been sticking in your craw for like 2 weeks now. And if anybody just wants to trace your comments, they can see it in your comments. All they have to do is trace my videos. You can see it. But don't worry, more post-trib rapture stuff on the way. Anyway, so I'm gonna keep going here. By the way, what he did say here was the Me Too movement. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the Me Too movement that has moved into churches. And this is a political hack job is what it is. It's a move in. Oh, by the way, hang on a second. Wait a minute here. I'm not going to defend Baptists if they're wrong. If there's a certain sect of Baptists that are wrong, I'm not going to defend them. I came after Jack Scop with his perversion. I came after Jack Hiles with his perversion. I went after all of those people, the big name CCM guys that are turning over. I haven't covered for anybody. If somebody's wrong, be they Baptist, Presbyterian, Protestant, Lutheran, I don't care what they are. I'm going to call it out. Because I'm honest to the text. I'm honest to what the Word of God says. That's why. So, it doesn't matter. Am I supposed to... Is there something in the Bible that says I'm not supposed to reprove and rebuke Baptists when they're wrong? Wouldn't that make me a respecter of persons? Wouldn't that mean that I would be derelict in my duty for not calling somebody out that was wrong on something like that? And something so grievous? Oh, no, I think it's pretty obvious what you're attacking over there. I think it's pretty obvious, and there's a reason for it. But whatever. It's okay. I already know those games. I've been around enough Jezebel spirits before to know that they raise up when you deal with stuff like this. And that spirit of Elijah in me is just that one that grates those people. And they flip. They can't help it. They flip. They can't help it. Look, my friends are Baptists. I have Protestant friends. I have people that are wrong. I'm a Baptist. I understand the history of being a Baptist and why I'm a Baptist. But you know something? If they're wrong, they're wrong. And the fundamentalist movement, I started my whole ministry preaching against the fundamentalist movement and its errors and what it did. And they were all Baptists, and that's what I preached against. So it doesn't matter who you are. I'm not gonna side with error. I'm gonna call it out what it is. And this is a serious issue. This is a serious issue.
Effort in feminism is not equality. It's not, they don't want equality. That's why 99% of plumbers are men. They don't want equal power to be a plumber. They want to be senators, preachers, congressmen, president, the power structure in a university. They want power, not
See, that's exactly right. Listen to what he's saying here. What he is saying is very clear. Listen to what he said. They don't want to be plumbers. They don't want to stick their hands in poop and feces. They don't want to do that. They don't want to go out and get jobs like that. They don't want the equality there. No, that's not what they want. What they want is to be leaders and pastors and presidents and everything else. By the way, Katie Porter, you don't tell me what to do. If I want to sit on this thread and I want to sit here and talk on this thread and I want to answer comments over here, I'll do it. I'll do it all day if I want to do it. I'll sit here for the next 3 hours and do it all day. Look, you ain't going to play a flute for me and make me dance. I don't work that way. Don't try telling me what to do. It don't work. I'll tell you that right now. I'll sit on that comment and dissect every single word on there. Anyway. See, I know what spirit I'm up against. I know exactly what it is. It's very plain. It's absolutely very plain. And I'm telling you, it's what I realize. When somebody has a problem with post-trib, it is a stinking dig that they cannot get over. It's going to rise up in them, and they're going to find a reason to hate you. It's just what they're going to do. I've seen it too many times. I love my pre-trib brethren, and I can get along with a lot of them, but there's a lot of them that they just get graded. Anyway, okay. Look what he says here, though. He says here that all they want is power. They want to be senators. They want to be congressmen. They want to be presidents. They want to be pastors. They want to be elders in the church. They want the rule. And what is that? What is that? I'll show you what it is. It's rebellion. It's exactly what it is. It's nothing but rebellion. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. It's the desire to rebel against God's order and have them rule. Women today that are not godly women, they want to rule. They want to rule. That's what they want. They gotta rule. They got a rule. That's what it is. And he's right. He's calling it out right.
Quality. And this is the highest location they can ascend to that power in the evangelical church and overturn what is clearly scriptural. So I think this is...
See, in this rise of that Jezebel spirit... In that rise of the Jezebel spirit, here's what it is. It's a war. It is a war. Because that spirit wants the preeminence. Has to have it. And they want it in the church. And Beth Moore, by the way, Beth Moore and the SBC leadership, they use manipulation to push the agenda of women in authority. Well, so-and-so, sexual promiscuity happened in the SBC. These pastors did wrong. Well, church the pastors then. Church them out. If they sinned, church them out. If they didn't repent, church them out. Okay? The answer is not throw off biblical leadership of a man, throw it off and accept female leadership because, well, after all, you need a woman to fix it. That's not the answer. The answer is to follow good biblical order. That's the answer.
Feminism gone to church. This is why we can't let the culture exegete the Bible.
And okay, perfect. I'm telling you, that's a perfect statement. Listen very closely. I'm going to put me in the wide shot here. Listen, he said, you cannot let culture exegete the Bible. You cannot let culture determine what the Bible, define the Bible. We define the Bible by the Bible. We do not define the Bible by our culture. And that's what he's saying. You don't do that. You don't take the culture and say, well, this is going on in the world today. And listen, we've evolved. So now we have to change everything. And now, you know, women, you're a misogynist. If you don't believe, if you don't let women do this and that, then you're this and you're that. And we have to define it now by what the culture will accept. Well, the culture's going to hell. The culture's wicked as hell. We define the Bible by the Bible. We define Scripture by the way it is interpreted, the way that it is written, line upon line, precept upon precept.
And I need to add a footnote. When the Southern Baptists met in June, and they passed Resolution 9, and they said intersectionality and critical theory are useful tools in interpreting the Bible, that was a watershed moment for that entire movement. Because if the culture has the right to interpret the Bible, they will interpret the Bible, and liberalism will take over. This is an evidence that they are allowing the culture to interpret the Scripture.
Right. Not to mention, you have to understand this. The only way they pass all this social justice garbage in the Southern Baptist Convention, the only way they're passing this is by using women to do it. All that has to happen is a woman that's abused, all she has to do is get up there and say, well, I was sexually abused. And that's terrible. It's awful. It's wicked. It's disgusting. But that doesn't change God's order. It doesn't change what is right and what is wrong. It doesn't change what God said.
A couple weeks after that, there was a panel discussion of Southern Baptist leaders who said there should never be another translation committee without a Latino, an African American, and a woman on it. Translation of the Bible? How about somebody who knows Greek and Hebrew?
See, now, again, we believe that the King James Bible is the authority, is the Word of God, is the final authority in all faith and practice. But what he's saying is here, so you want to have people on your translation team that don't know Greek and Hebrew to translate the Scriptures. You just want them because of their social status. Right? You just want them because of their social status. So what he's saying to you is that's not how you define an issue.
So, I mean, this is not a minor issue when you literally overturn the clear teaching of Scripture.
Right, so what is this? It's a paradigm shift in churches. It's a paradigm shift. That's what it is. They are changing God's order by the way they feel. They're trying to change the thinking of people historically that have followed the Word of God that the church has held to over the centuries, and what are they doing? Changing their minds. So they're going to come out with all these sexual molestation stories, all these gays being abused in the Southern Baptist Church stories. They're going to come out with a number of these issues. That's what they're going to do. They're going to come out with all these. Why? Because they're going to use the most grotesque and awful stories that they can come up with to create a paradigm shift in people's minds. That women have to do this now.
to empower people who want power, you have given up biblical authority. This is not a small issue.
People would say, no, that it's not our intention specifically after the convention of the Southern Baptist Convention. This is not about egalitarianism. This is maybe perhaps a soft complementarianism. First of all, is there such a thing as soft complementarianism?
Well, I don't know about terms. I just know women are not allowed to preach.
Excuse me. Amen. I agree with that. Women are not allowed to preach. He said, I don't know what all these terms you're using, but women are not allowed to preach. Plain and simple.
Do you think that that is the direction that the SBC is headed in?
Oh, more than the direction. It was a plunge headlong. But it's not just that. You can see it in other things that they're tolerant of. I guess in some ways it was remarkable they lasted as long as they did when all the other denominations have been gone 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. And they held on to inerrancy and they held on to a legitimate hermeneutic. But when you decide that the culture can interpret the scripture and you need cultural cues to translate the Bible, the horse is out of the barn.
Do you believe that on that issue it is, can the horse be returned at the barn?
It's not.
Now listen very closely to his answer here. Can the horse be returned into the barn? Now, when a church goes and starts with CCM, they rarely ever go back. When a church goes into the Bible version issue and goes into a ESV, like these guys use and others, they rarely ever go back. Now, when you change the entire structure of leadership around and you change the dynamic of women ruling in the church, once you open that can of worms, it's like opening Pandora's box. You're never going to close that again.
Not likely, because that is the result of a democratic decision. They voted on that, right? And the majority voted that external cultural cues are useful tools in interpreting the Bible. That's the fruit of inadequate teaching at a core level, at a foundational level. So how do you turn that around without going back into the whole operation and changing the way they understand truth?
Phil, the issue of...
Okay, so that's the end of that video right there. And I'm going to show you some more videos. Now, again, I shouldn't have to do this, but I'll do it anyway. This is not an endorsement of John MacArthur. This is not an endorsement of his ministry. This is not I have disagreements. I've been through that. The point is they are using this. Look at Moore's answer. Look what she said. She says this. Let's see. Let me switch that over here. In an apparent response to MacArthur and her critics on Monday morning, Moore noted in a series of tweets that I did not surrender to a calling of man when I was 18 years old. I surrendered to a calling of God. It never occurs to me for a second to not fulfill it. I will follow Jesus and Jesus alone all the way home. And I will see his beautiful face and proclaim, worthy is the Lamb. Okay, so stop there for a second, okay? Listen to me. Do you see how she did that? She is saying she can follow Jesus without following the scriptures. She is saying that I can follow Jesus without following the scriptures. So she is following her feelings and emotions. She is not following God. But because people don't know the Bible, all she has to say is, I'm following Jesus. Now, Moore further noted this. Here's the beautiful thing about it. I mean this with absolute respect. You don't have to let me serve you. That gets to be your choice. Whether or not I serve Jesus is not up to you. Whether I serve you certainly is. One way or the other, I esteem you as my sibling in Christ. Okay, so what is this? This is what I call witchy poo speech. She is manipulating people. She is not speaking sound doctrine. She is manipulating people. And she is saying that, well, God is my authority and man is not. So if you don't want me to serve you, I won't serve you. That is such female manipulation. Oh my goodness, it is such female manipulation. It is such witchcraft. It is such absolute witchcraft. That's exactly what it is just plain witchcraft. That's what it is, the way she says it. And then SBC President J.D. Greer, Pastor Cooley thinks he's a queer, said, you're welcome in our home anytime. Oh my goodness. Is that guy just dripping with gay or what? That guy is just straight up dripping with gay. I mean, that guy is dripping with queer. I'm telling you, if that guy don't come out of the closet soon, well, let me ask you a question. Let's see here. Let's see, not there. Right here. This is the SBC president. President of the Southern Baptist Convention, the pastor of Summit Church.
Pastor Janie Greer, a.k.a. Whitney Houston.
Is this a genuine
Okay, that's enough of that. That's enough gay for any day right there. That is the president of the SBC. So can you see why a guy like MacArthur can look at that guy and be like, dude's gay. MacArthur didn't say that, I said, but I don't even know. I'm sorry. That is so bad. That song is about that Erica. Why did you have to type that? Oh, Erica just made me laugh like really hard. Oh, I'm trying. Okay, I try not to laugh, but I mean, when he, I can only imagine Elijah watching those guys pull their hair out of those prophets of Baal. Listen, if this guy right here is a, he's a flamer, okay? That guy's going to come out queer anytime. I know it. I know he is. It's just a matter of time before that guy comes out. But why did I show you that? Well, the reason I showed you that is I want you to understand what they're pushing. Well, Crusader for Christ, you said guys manipulate too. Well, I know they do. I just showed you a video of one doing it right here. That's what he's doing. He's manipulating. That's what this is. Of course they do. Of course they do. But God warned women. God warned women about it. So, what was the response to MacArthur dealing with Beth Moore? MacArthur only implemented a one-sided truce, they said here. MacArthur said, well, I don't want to fight my friends, but he actually, later on with this video, he actually had to fight his friends. Okay. MacArthur only implemented one-sided truce here. However, Moore has been a useful ally in pushing evangelicalism to the hardcore left. Moeller, the former president of the SBC, Duncan and Deaver, all whom have radically changed their views in the last 5 years, desire to take it. Moore's powerful grip on the souls of women and her fearlessness to say patently stupid things, says J.D. Hall, along with her status as a supposed past sexual victim, makes her immune to almost any and all criticism. See, that's what they use. Oh. Here it is, right? Well, if you can't say anything against that person because she was sexually abused. So therefore she can say whatever she wants and she can do whatever he wants and we can't say anything to her because she's a mistreated female. Well, that's not true. If they're wrong, you call it out as wrong. That's the way it goes. Even though Moeller and Duncan supposedly share MacArthur's views on women preachers, both happily share and give the stage to female preachers. They still have found reason to cast shade upon MacArthur instead of defend him. While it seems to enter the world is the entire world is angry at the elder statesman for simply giving an opinion on the matter. Ligon Duncan, whoever he is, one of the strange features of the internet and social media is the phenomenon of polemics as entertainment. People who are attracted to this kind of thing can pretend to that their great concern is for God and the truth and the church when, in fact, they are simply indulging in the flesh. Dear Beth Moore, you're welcome at our home anytime. Well, of course, you just dance like a stinking queer on stage to Whitney Houston and dance with some stinking dude that you want to feel the heat with somebody. I don't know if you realize that. That's gay. Anyway, yeah, that's funny. Missing the SBC is burning. Have you seen Albert Moeller? That's funny. Southern Baptists unwaveringly affirm God's complementary design for gender in the church. As the BFM 2000 states, while both men and women are gifted for service in the church, the office of a pastor is limited to men as qualified by Scripture. He's lying. And he's going to change that. Beth Moore is preaching on stages everywhere. She is preaching and she is taking the leadership roles in these meetings wherever she goes. That's exactly what she's doing, and they are not stopping. They are not stopping what they are doing. By the way, this is at the Summit Church. this was sung for their Christmas special. Terrible. Okay. So there's their Christmas program at the Summit Church. That's right. This is what happens when there's no Bible. They don't follow the Word of God. Okay, let's see here. Now, this video, we're going to get into some scripture here as soon as I'm done with this, and we're going to get into that, okay? By the way, that song was Let It Go. Disney song. So you see how these people can take anything, and they take all of that, and they liken songs that are preached about girlfriends and boyfriends and all that other stuff, right? So, anyway, but this video, you're going to notice, hopefully you notice something about this video, but in this video that I'm going to show you here, we're going to talk about, actually after this video, we're going to talk about women's ministry, so to speak. But this doesn't sound like, what you're about to hear does not sound like any woman's ministry that I find in the scriptures.
We're all involved in women's ministry, ministry among women, various shapes and sizes. Maybe we should say what that is first. Well,
I'd like to know what it is. I'd like to know if it's even biblical what you're doing. I'd like to find out if it's scriptural. It's kind of what I'd like to find out. Maybe they'll be able to share with us how scriptural that is. I'd like to hear that. I'd like to hear what they say about that. That's interesting to me, sort of, for like 3 seconds. But anyway.
What, do you have a nutshell definition of ministry, women's ministry?
Well, I know about some nuts, some crazy people.
What do you think?
I think when women minister to each other, it's pretty safe to call that ministry among women.
That's
there's
right.
No need for...
It doesn't have to be a program.
A program, okay. Thing that starts at a certain time. Now, I'm ministering. Yeah. But as the Spirit of God leads you, mm-hmm. equips you, gifts you, mm-hmm. and you're in the context of this body, mm-hmm. moving, all the parts working, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and you're going about what it is that God has for you, you're a woman ministering.
Mm-hmm. In the body, according to the word.
That like really took a whole lot of time to say absolutely nothing. Did anybody figure that was absolutely nothing?
Woman ministering to another.
Yeah. That's good.
As you do that and see that, what do you find? What are you finding? What's the most encouraging thing you're finding? On that horizon these days.
My favorite thing is when women say, I want to know how to read the Bible. Mm-hmm. They recognize that this is not just a book.
Well, shouldn't their husband or their father or the pastor, or like, shouldn't they be learning that from the pulpit, just like men do? How do women read the Bible any different than men do? They don't. They should read the Bible exactly the same. I mean, sure, there's other things that are going to be pulled out of it, but it's ridiculous. This is just ridiculous.
This isn't just a textbook. I'm not reading things about God. I'm reading God's words. Mm-hmm. It's alive. Mm-hmm. And I know that I need help mm-hmm. to do this. I need discipleship. How? And they just, how? Help me. How? That's the most encouraging thing I've seen.
Women asking that question. Well, that's great.
Yeah, I would agree with that completely. That's been one of the things that just really energizes me as I've traveled around, is just seeing. It feels to me like a renewed interest in the Word, but coupled with just a real sense of authenticity in their approach to it. Mm-hmm. I think that women are wanting more than they have asked of women's ministry in the past, and I'm really thankful to see that, because there's so much we could do for one another and with one another as women in the church. Mm-hmm. So it's been really exciting to see this renewed interest in, wait a minute, maybe there's more to this than I thought. I don't want to just talk about Proverbs 31, or I don't want to just talk about how to be a good mom. I think there's more going on mm-hmm. in the Word, and I want someone to show me how to get to that.
Yeah. We all work, I think, with Bible study groups mm-hmm. a lot. One of the things I find encouraging as I work with various groups and speak with various groups is that as I'm working, I'm finding not only an increasing interest in studying, in digging in, but in learning how to, as you yeah. say, and in wanting on the part of leaders to train people mm-hmm. to learn how to, so that we can pass it on, how to ask certain questions of a text. And I'm finding people are asking me, where are the materials we can use mm-hmm. to train women to study, mm-hmm. not just to do it, to be given questions, but actually to train. Mm-hmm. And that's awfully exciting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I can't tell how much of it, among younger women in particular, I think there are generations of women behind us who perhaps have not always been told to think of themselves as thinkers, mm-hmm. and they're learning that sort of in their later years. This is something for me. And then there are these younger women who have never known a time when they were not told, you're a thinker, you can go to college, you can do whatever you want in life. And so for those women, they kind of come out of the gate thinking differently in terms of what am I going to do with Scripture? They sort of have a different expectation. But I see it from young to old, just this new thinking of, there's more to this than just reading devotionally or just looking at something from a topical standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I can't put my finger on what's driving it, but it's pretty refreshing to start mm-hmm. to see.
Absolutely. That is encouraging. I'm also really encouraged when I see God putting circumstances mm-hmm. and pressures in women's mm-hmm. lives mm-hmm. that drive them to understand and come to great grips with, I need God's word as the foundation yes. for this. Yeah. The circumstances in my life are no longer manageable for mm-hmm. me mm-hmm. in the way that I know how to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. So I've got to be standing on something firm. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously not my competency. Mm-hmm. I need God's word. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. when they get to that point where everything else has fallen away, mm-hmm. there is something steady to stand on. And when they see that the Bible is that thing, mm-hmm. not books
about the Bible,
the Bible, mm-hmm. Then they just really, they come alive. And they start to see it as food. Mm-hmm. I need to eat this every day.
And it's amazing. Whatever the background, I mean, you mentioned different backgrounds. Some women have been encouraged mm-hmm. to dig in. Other women haven't. And different generations are different. And different cultures are different. Different areas of the country are even different.
Yeah.
And yet you bring women together, even with different backgrounds, different ages, different experiences. And this living and active word, isn't it incredible, can speak into, cross all those barriers, mm-hmm. all those different lives and all those different experiences. What a blessing to work with women in the word.
Okay. So gag me with a spoon already. Okay. What you just heard has nothing to do with Bible. It has everything to do with their feelings towards it. Their ministry, so to speak. But not the Word of God, not the ministry. Beware, all right, I'm going to switch this up. Beware, I'm going to give you a warning about women's ministries. Are you ready? Warning number one. If a woman's ministry does not point you to home, it should be avoided. Number one warning. If a woman's ministry does not point you to home, it should be avoided. Titus chapter 2, verse number 4, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. In Titus chapter 2, we find Paul in his pastoral epistles dealing with Timothy and Titus, and he is explaining to them that women's role and women's place is in the home. That's where it is. What those women said in that video was how they were going to teach women the Bible, and they were going to teach women to do all these things. But what they didn't say was, they didn't say they were going to teach women to be a keeper at home. They did not say, they did not say that at all. They did not say them to be in subjection to their own husbands. To be chaste. Right? Hang on a second. Let's look at some of these words here. Pure from unlawful commerces of sexes, applied to persons before marriage, it signifies pure from all sexual commerce. Undefiled, applied to married persons, true to the marriage bed. Pure, genuine, uncorrupt. Free from barbarous words and phrases. And from quaint, affected, extravagant expressions. Do you see that? That's what God's word says. So for them, that they would teach the younger women. How do you do that? By example, to be sober. Teach them to be sober. Look at this. Obviously not intoxicated, regular, calm, not under the influence of passion, as sober judgment, serious, solemn, grave as the sober livery of autumn, not mad or insane, not wild, not heated with passion, having the regular exercise of a good, dispassionate reason, temperate, sober. Right? teach them to be sober, to love their husbands. To love their children. What is he saying there? You say, well, yeah, just love your kids. Come on. The older women say it. Now look, just love your kids. No! That's love is just a word. They're telling you, teach them to define what that means. To love their children, to love their husbands. What does that mean? Well, when you love somebody, you sacrifice for them. You give time for them. You show that love. You exercise that love. That is where your focus is. Younger women, that your focus is in the home. Your focus is on your husband. Your focus is on, and by the way, it says husband before it says children. And in that order. That's God's order. To love your husbands, to love your children. To be discreet. Prudent, wise in avoiding or evil errors or evil and in selecting the best means to accomplish a purpose. Discreet. Separate, reserved, wary, discerning. To be discreet, to be wise. That's what God says. So there'd be discreet, chaste. That word chaste. Keepers at home. Keepers at home. See that? Good. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So why did John MacArthur tell her to go home? Because she's blaspheming God's word, that's why. She is preaching God's word as a without authority. Without authority. And John MacArthur told her, you should go home. Right? Obedient to your own husbands. Why? Because that the word of God be not blasphemed. God's word is blasphemed by what Beth Moore and the Southern Baptist Convention is doing right now. God's word is being blasphemed by what they're doing. By allowing women to preach, J.D. Greer and the rest of these people, they are causing the word of God to be blasphemed. The Bible is very clear about women. First Timothy 2, verse number 11. All right, let's back up here. I will therefore that men, verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Let's look that word up. Properly restrained by a sense of propriety. Hence, not forward or bold, not presumptuous or arrogant, not boastful, not bold or forward apparel, not loose or lewd, not loose or lewd. I hope you guys are listening to me over here, not getting this distracted by things over there. I'm not paying a whole lot of attention, but I see the comments coming up, and it seems like you guys are stuck on hair right now. Not loose or lewd. Not excessive or extreme. Not extravagant. That means, lady, when you walk in a room, your countenance should light the room up, not your clothing. Right? See, we got Beth Moore and Paula White. And most of the time, like this, she's got tight pantsuits on. Extravagant looking in that sense. Very tight clothes that show her figure off. And everything else. Why is that? Everything to show her figure. Completely. Or, yeah, just, I mean, anyway, I think you get the picture. It isn't modest. It isn't modest at all. Same thing as Beth Moore. I mean, she wears these tight jeans. She wears things to draw attention to herself. She's got the painted on makeup. She's got the charismatic look to her. You know. All that. Anyway, the point is, get off of that too here. What does the Bible say? It says modest apparel. Modest apparel. With shamefacedness. Easily, or put out of a man may be shamefaced to excess. Conscious is blushing. Shamefacedness. It means that you're not bashful. You're bashful. With an excess of modesty in that sense. So in other words, basically, you're not wearing the outfit that turns everybody's head when you walk in. Right? You're not doing it for that reason. Look at that. With sobriety. So your dress should have sobriety. Sober. Seriousness about it. Not with broided hair, gold or pearls or costly array. So all gaudy looking and all gauded up with everything. Okay? That's what it's talking about. Doesn't mean you can't look nice. It means that you don't paint on the war paint and you don't make it look like that. Or costly array, like you have to have the expensive outfits. But which becometh women professing godliness. Professing godliness with good works. So they profess godliness with the way that they are dressed. No, looking... Well, you shouldn't have a goal to look hot. Somebody that made a dummy account asked me. No, you shouldn't have a goal to look hot. You should have a goal to look modest. You should have a goal to glorify God. That's what you should have a goal of. It shouldn't be to turn people's heads around you, to make people to be sexually attracted to you by the basis of you showing your flesh off. That is a sin. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Then he goes on to explain, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you went to a woman's meeting? Some of you that go to those, let me see if I can find it here. When's the last time you went to a woman's meeting and they played something like this?
Of how men and women think and how their minds work. Now, if you're a man, you probably understand that. And if you're a woman, you definitely understand that because you see how men think and you're like, what is wrong with you? So you get... Well, I'm going to show you what's wrong with us, okay? And then you'll understand what's wrong with us, and you'll be like, okay, I get it. That's why they're like that, okay? So I want to share some of those things with you. I don't know how long this is going to go. If you're not used to long preaching, then, number one, you're in the wrong place. But you can get up and do jumping jacks in the back if you'd like and go for a walk. But if you are... if you're not used to that modesty and understanding, because, well, first of all, I never had anybody teach me these things. Actually, besides my wife and I having discussions and things like that over the years and hearing about fundamental Baptist churches and their stands on things, I've never really heard too much preaching on it. I've just heard that, well, here's the standard, here's what you wear, and that's all there is to it. And you just do that and you conform. Well, that's what was said, but nobody ever taught on it. Nobody ever explained why. No one ever did a comprehensive study of why. So people don't know. The first thing you have to assume with people you should always assume with people is that they don't know. Before you judge them, look at them and say, man, look what they're wearing. No, the first thing you need to remember is maybe they don't know. Because I guarantee I know people that we have a church full of sons. And it is very important that our daughters understand how to dress for the Lord, how to dress to please the Lord. You say, well, why is it? And I'm going to share with you why there's a difference in men and women when it comes to these things. OK, because there is if the one thing that I figured out is there's a great disconnect between what women understand, how men see things. Still not upright in Minnesota. Yeah. Never be tempted to dress like the world. They're already tempted to dress like the world.
So in other words, basically, what's done here, or what I'm talking about here, is biblical modesty. Could you imagine having that at a Christian woman's conference? They have all these Christian women's conferences, and get on there and start talking about that. Start talking about women and their roles. In fact, I have one, should Christian women wear pants? Let's see, biblical feminism, and start talking about biblical feminism and things like that. What would happen? What would the response be? You know, I think you know what the response would be. You know, I think that they would not want to hear it. I think that they would be upset. I think they would be mighty upset with it, right? So, and why is that? Because nobody wants to preach on those things when women are at meetings and things like that. But that would be a great conference for a preacher to actually stand up there and teach those women what they need to hear about that. But there's an entire series on dressing, women and dressing and everything else. And it would be good for you to listen to it if you haven't already heard those. But I get people get upset about that. You know, but that's fine. You can get upset about it. But I suffer not a woman to teach. After he talks about the clothing, he says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Well, listen, Eddie, let me stop here at this teaching and say this to you. Eddie, if you go listen to my series on women's clothing or on clothing, then what you will realize is, and mine on skinny jeans, you will realize that I've already talked about Hollywood, gay producers of clothing and manufacturers and dress and everything. I dedicated one entire segment in the discussion of modesty and clothing to the designers that design that clothing. I talked about all of the homosexual designers, the sodomite people in Hollywood. I have preached it endlessly. Go listen to the series on it. I can't put it all in one teaching in here, but if you would like to listen to it, you are more than welcome to go listen to it. And it tells the history of clothing, and I talk about it in that show. I talked about it, or that wasn't a broadcast. That was actually a sermon series that I was teaching the church. So, Eddie, if you want to hear the history of clothing and the homosexual designers and all those things, I've already dealt with that in another teaching. So if you want to go there, you can listen to it. It's right there. So, yes, I have covered that. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. To be in silence. She's to be in silence. Why? This word for is the same as because. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. But the woman, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. What does that mean? Here's what it means, guys. No, it doesn't mean she's going to get eternal life from having babies. It means that God will preserve her in childbearing. Saved does not always mean eternal life. It might be saved from your present situation, saved from the distress that you're under, saved from the present illness that you have, delivered, saved from. Nevertheless, right? Notwithstanding, he says, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. It doesn't mean she's not going to die having a baby. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that her life is preserved, her ministry, what she does, her calling is preserved as long as she is doing what God has called her to do. That's what it means. That's what he's saying to her. He's saying her place is in the home, not there. Not in the church. Her place is not of authority. Her place is in subjection to her husband at home. It's very clear. Paul said he suffered not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So the Bible's very clear, right? In the book of Corinthians, he talks about it. Let your women First Corinthians 14:34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. For it is not permitted them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So what? Why did he reference the law? Why did he reference the law? He references the law to show you that grace did not change the order of the sexes. I repeat, grace did not change the order of the sexes. It did not change the order. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. They have no permission from God to speak. So, when Beth Moore... When Beth Moore says, well, I'm going to practice my calling. I was called by God. What God called you to preach? Because the written word of God tells me that you have no permission to speak. You have no permission to do it. On the contrary, you're commanded to be silent. You not only have no permission, you are commanded as also saith the law. As also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Do you see that? It is a shame. Women are not to be leaders in the church. There's no such thing as female leaders in the church. There are elder women that teach the younger women. What does Paul say here? And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant still. Let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues, let all things be done decently and in order. So what is he saying here? He's saying that if somebody comes to you and says they're spiritual and God said women can preach in their church, well, they're denying what the Bible says. They're not acknowledging what God's word says. He said if they act like they're spiritual. So in other words, if a pastor tells you that a woman can preach in the church that you're a member of, when God said she has no permission to do it, she has no permission to preach, he's not allowed to give her permission to preach. So J.D. Greer, the Southern Baptist Convention, those men do not have the permission. They do not have the authority to give her permission to speak. They don't have the authority. Not at all. Because God says, from his command, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, through the Apostle Paul, it is not permitted unto them to speak. Let your women keep silence in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience. What obedience is he talking about? Genesis chapter 3. God's rule and order. As also saith the law. In the beginning he made them male and female. And God hasn't changed that. God has not changed the order of that. God has not said it was okay for them to do something that he never gave them permission. On the contrary, he said, keep silent and you have no permission. Think about that for a minute. And think about how mad effeminate men get at me when I talk about that. And how all these people are coming after MacArthur. Now, there's a lot of things I could go after MacArthur about that I don't agree with him about. Lots of things. Well, at least three or four things, for sure. But this ain't one of them. This is correct. No, Tom, that's not what's going on. She is preaching in the assembly to a mixed, to a congregation of men and women to the church Sunday morning. That is the absolute context of what Beth Moore is doing. And there's plenty of videos to prove it. By the way, when John MacArthur said all this, here come the chants of poor Beth, misogyny, abuse, poor women everywhere. Regardless of what he said, it's the way he said it. Beth, come hawk your wares through my denomination. Right? All these people lined up. All these people lined up. Why? Because they have to defend Beth Moore. Because that's the direction that they're going. And by the way, people don't have a problem with me. They have a problem with the God of the Bible. I just read Scripture. Scripture just defines Scripture. When all the trolls come forward, I mean, they're just the fowls of the air coming in, flying in. They're devil-possessed to their toenails, and they can't stop. Why? Because they can't stand clear Bible teaching. That's all it is clear Bible preaching. This has been historic doctrine accepted by the churches for 2,000 years. By the way, because of that, you can go, I think I have it online, something was written a long time ago in the reign of the kings and queens by John Knox. And it was called the Monstrous Regiment of Women in Authority. The Monstrous Regiment of Women in Authority. And that's what Knox preached against the Queen. He preached against women in authority in the pulpit, women in authority in government primarily. I believe he talked about the pulpit too, but I can't remember. It's been a while since I read it. But he talks about women politicians shouldn't be there, and I agree with him. But let's see if I can find that. Let's see. See if I can find that article. Give me a second here. It's John Knox's. I was going to see that. Oh, here it is. John Knox had a lot to say about women in rule. And women in authority. Back in the day. I am not ignorant that the most part of men
with
do
all
understand.
All that USA offers, why go with anybody else? We know that.
There we go. I am not ignorant that the most part of men do understand this malediction of the subjection of the wife to her husband and of the dominion which he bears above her. But the Holy Ghost gives to us another interpretation of this place, taking from all women all kinds of superiority, authority, and power over man. Speaking as follows by the mouth of St. Paul, I suffer not a woman to teach, neither to usurp authority above the man. Now remember, this is before the King James Bible. Here he names women in general, expecting none, affirming that she may usurp authority above no man, and that he speaks more plainly in another place in these words, let women keep silence in the congregation, for it is not permitted to them to speak, but to be subject as the law saith. These two testimonies of the Holy Ghost are sufficient to prove whatsoever we have affirmed before, and to repress the inordinate pride of women, as also to correct the foolishness of those that have studied to exalt women in authority above men, against God and against his sentence pronounced. But that the same two places of the apostle may be better to be understood, it is to be noted that in the latter, which is written in the first epistle to the Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verse 7 through 32, before the apostle permitted that all persons should prophesy one after another, adding this reason, that all may learn and all may receive consolation, and lest that any might have judged that amongst a rude multitude and the plurality of speakers, many things little of purpose might have been affirmed, or else that some confusion might have arisen, he adds, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. As if he should say, God shall always raise up some to whom the verity shall be revealed, and unto such you shall give place. Albeit they sit in the lower seats. And thus the apostle must have prophesying and exercise to be free to the whole church, but that everyone should communicate with the congregation what God had revealed to them, providing that it were orderly done. But from the general privilege he excludes all women, saying, let women keep silence in the congregation. And why, I pray you? Was it because that the apostle thought no woman to have any knowledge? No, he gives another reason, saying, let her be subject as the law saith. in which words is first to be noted that the apostle calls this former sentence pronounced against the woman a law, that is the immutable decree of God, who by his own voice has subjected her to one member of the congregation, that is to her husband, whereupon the Holy Ghost concludes that she may never rule nor bear empire above man, for she that is made subject to one may never be preferred to many, and that the Holy Ghost does manifestly express, saying, I suffer not that woman usurp authority over authority above man. He says not, I will not that women usurp authority above her husband, but he names man in general, taking from all her power and authority to speak, to reason, to interpret, or to teach, but principally to rule, to judge in the assembly of men, so that woman, by the law of God and by the interpretation of the Holy Ghost, is utterly forbidden to occupy the place of God in offices aforesaid, which he has assigned to man, whom he has appointed and ordained as lieutenant on earth, excluding from that honor and dignity all women, as this short argument shall evidently declare. Anyway, so you can read the Monstrance Regiment of Women in Authority yourself. You can find it online. I read it a long time ago, and it was good, and taught a lot of good things. Anyway, so it continues on. The struggle continues on here. And this order being mocked, God's order being mocked, blasphemes the Lord, that the word of God be not blasphemed. How is the word of God blasphemed? It's ignored, it's blasphemed. Because women and men are allowing that to happen, and it's blaspheming God's word. It mocks it. It mocks it. Blasphemes. Ridicules. Makes little of. Despises the word of God. So as you see this further slide of the SBC, understand, it only gets worse from here on out. These people are probably not going to repent of this. They're going to set up new norms of what they desire and what they would like to have done. All right, anyway. Anybody have any questions over here at all? We had a bunch of trolls come on here and all that good stuff. But praise the Lord. God's faithful, amen. And we continue on for the Lord. Anybody have any questions at all? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Very true. Regina asks a good question. What if a woman has to work? Well, then you have to. You don't have a choice. If you don't have a husband to take care of you, if your husband won't take care of you, or you don't have a father to take care of you, then you have to work. You don't have a choice. And we recognize that sin mars the order of God. Somewhere, somehow, sin is involved with that, and it makes that happen. What about women preaching to other women? Depends on what the context is. The Bible says that the elder women are to teach the younger women. Public preaching is different than teaching one-on-one, teaching how to live, teaching how to raise children, teaching by their godly example, giving instructions to the younger women. Those are all different. There's a difference, Nadine, in that. And that of mixed. Beth Moore and these women preachers are not preaching to women. They're not teaching women. They're preaching to congregations. And they're moving that as a change and a difference. They're trying to cause a shift and a change. That's what they're doing. So, there is a place for the elder women to teach the younger women. But it's after they've already learned and they've already, you know, encouraged and instructed. And I believe it's in the context of the local church, it's in the context of, you know, writing things, materials, things like that. I don't believe it's the same thing as public speaking in the assembly. There's a difference in that. God laid down the order of what that was to look like, more so than like what the Southern Baptist Convention is doing today and others like it. What will you do if you found a tiny Mickey Mouse figurine in your house? That sounds like a troll question. So stupid. What about women's Bible studies? I think you have to be careful about women's Bible studies, especially when they take men away from, when they take women away from their homes. They want to break the glass ceiling. That's right. Well, people just... Andrea, that's just a troll sending me that. They're just trying to send me stuff to... Really, I'm... Honestly, I'm going to have the IP probably traced if I can and find out. Because this guy is fascinated with my children for some reason. And it's really creeping me out. Like, that guy's making me think that he's, like, some kind of serial nut job or something. And he's, like, fascinated with my family. And I don't know. There's something wrong with that dude. He's too fascinated with that. So, never can be too careful these days. Let's see. Do you have an age grade in mind for when kids' ministries shouldn't include boys? Well, honestly, we don't do any kids' ministries here. We have a church full of families, and most of our activities are done together. And then if the boys want to go with the boys usually go with the men, and the ladies all stay together, and, you know, they learn things about the home and stuff like that. But, you know, they kind of just, we don't really have like an organized class for those things. We just, we don't have kids classes here. We just don't do that. But anyway, there's some churches that are different about things like that, but we don't do that here. Elders need to approve, Sarah says, women's Bible study. Yep, that's absolutely true. But, I mean, yeah, Kieran, if you listen to the beginning of the broadcast, I had to replace all my cards. My wallet was lost, all that stuff, report all my cards, change my ID, do all that stuff, and... it was found in a box downstairs in the toy room. So, isn't that great? Marita's asked me a question. Is it okay for women to wear sweatpants at home when out jogging and doing sports? Okay, I'm going to answer this question. And people are going to be upset with me, I'm sure. But I don't back down from what I believe. I'm not here. I'm not going to come to your house and look and see what you're wearing or anything like that, okay? Or any of those things. But I will say this. Maritas, let me ask you this question. Is it okay for Carl to to wear a dress when he's around the house or when he's working outside. And I think you'll get your answer. I agree with what you're saying, but I wonder how much you do teach to men about how to treat their women gently. Well, let's see. Let's go to let me ask you, first of all, is that an assumption or is that a question that you asked me, Nadine? But how much do you teach men about how to treat their women gently? Well, then, Maritas, then you have your answer. If it's not okay for him to do that, then it wouldn't be okay for you to do that. That's my position. And by the way, the Bible says to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And yes, I have series that are on there about men and how to treat their wives. But what I find that when you start talking about situations like this, there's always now maybe you're not doing this, okay? And I'm just going to say, when I talk about this, there's always this spirit of, well, what about the men? Well, what about them? Listen, I have a long list of men that hate me because they were churched out of this church for the way they treated their wife and children. Lots of them. Because I expect men to be men and take care of their families. Tom, yeah, I think Mueller's silence is his agreement with it. So I believe that's what it is. I believe it's a complacency and it's almost a justification of it. Otherwise he wouldn't do that. Otherwise he would stand up against it and he would stand out about it. Well, I don't know. I'm not around those men, so I don't know what they're like. I have no clue. But what that has to do with women preachers, I'm not sure. Well, obedience has nothing to do with my personality. My personality doesn't give me an excuse to treat people poorly. That's just the truth of the scriptures. I don't get to treat people poorly because of my personality or because I'm having a bad day or anything like that. I'm accountable for how I treat people no matter what. So, anyway, anybody else have any questions here? Anybody at all?
few here. Let me see. Make sure I didn't miss anything here. Oh, you asked me what advice would you give to churches that do have children's ministries a certain age when women shouldn't teach boys? Well, I think younger children is one thing. But when those boys get up around 12 years old, I think men should be teaching them. I don't think women should be. Well, if there's a woman preacher usurping authority in preaching, yes, you're in sin by listening to it. If she's preaching in a church, that's sin. Let's see. So I think that you have to be careful about that, about children and ministries and ages and things like that. Andrew, I've been accused of being too hard, Andrew. I've been accused of it. Right. They are new creatures, different, and they ought to want to walk and obey the Lord. They're not going to be perfect, but they're going to follow the Lord. They're going to be obedient to Him. Amen. That's what the Lord does in our lives. That's how He changes us. All right. Well, let me see if there's anything else on here. Boy, it's really weird. Really weird why that person is so obsessed with me and my family. But I'll tell you what, I intend to find out. I intend to trace that, to look into tracing that IP address of that person. Kind of weird. But you know, that's how false accusers and devils work, though. They always have to falsely accuse people. And I'll tell you why. That person, I'm just being real with you, that person that keeps trolling me like that, they would never say anything to my face like that. They wouldn't. Because they're cowards and not real men. They couldn't. They'd be shaking in their boots, and all I would have to do was just like, look at them, and they'd be shaking in their boots. They're cowards. They're just, that's how they are. They're just a bunch of cowards. If you're a man today and you stand up for your family to protect them, and you raise them for God, then they're going to lay out false accusations against you. They're going to do all kinds of stuff. But that's because they're a bunch of cowards. That's how they are. Bunch of false accusing cowards. But God will deal with them. Rest assured. Rest assured. God is well able. Amen. Well, anyway, this was good. We got a lot out today and got a lot of good teaching on this subject. And I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope it helped you a lot with your understanding of everything. Praise the Lord for that. Looking forward to it, to doing more for sure. No, Becky, you didn't miss nothing. There's some pervert on there trying to... I mean, he's constantly talking about my family. It's really weird. People are strange out there. I don't know. But anyway, there's cowards like that everywhere. That's how they are. God will deal with them, though. Sure. Sometime the Lord will deal with it. Amen. God will take care of it. So anyway, good broadcast, though. I got to get going because I got church tonight and a lot to do this weekend. We got the day parade on Wednesday. On Saturday, we have the day parade. And looking forward to that. And we got out 2,000 tracts last week at the parade and preached the gospel. But we thank God for that as well. So praise the Lord for that. And we thank God for that. And we're looking forward to doing it again here this week and maybe more. Pray for our printing equipment and everything. Pray that that all works well, that for our tracks. And that the Lord would continue to provide for that, continue to let everything run smoothly. And looking forward to that. Pray then next week, I'll have a week in between there. November 2nd is my birthday. That's a week from this Saturday here. 43 years old. And then after that, the week after that, we'll be going on vacation. Going to the Smoky Mountains. We're going to go to the Creation Museum, the Smoky Mountains, and a few other things. We don't sell our tracks. We really have a hard enough time keeping up with our own stuff and everything. So it's kind of hard to do that. But anyway, looking forward to being back with you on Friday. It'll probably be 11 to 1 on Friday. That's the goal, 11 to 1. So be there Friday, 11 to 1. I'm not sure what we'll talk about, but we'll figure it out. I think this one was a good, timely topic to deal with here. And God bless you all. And, you know, we'll be praying, pray for us and we'll pray for you. Deborah, if you want to contact me by email, well, I wish I was going to be 33 years old. I'm going to be 43.